All right, Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read verses 19 to 24. The text is verse 24. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. Turn over to Luke 16. It's the synoptic verse to this. Synoptic meaning synonymous, as written by Luke the physician. Luke 16 and verse 13. In this text, you see the heart of the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious lost. Verse 13, no servant in Matthew, no man, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 14, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. He exposed their sin. Listen, you always know a wrong-spirited person when their sin is exposed. If they're of the wrong spirit, they're going to get angry. If they're of the right spirit, they're going to become convicted, and they're going to repent of that sin. Now, the flesh will bristle at being rebuked, but when the Spirit of God is in you, you'll acknowledge your sin and your iniquity, and you'll thank that person. Because as the proverb says, open rebuke is better than secret love. It's better that you be rebuked for something so that you might repent of it than that. Which secret love, by the way? You can tell me that afterwards. But let's open in prayer for this text. Lord, we ask for your blessings. We ask that you would speak to us, O God. Help us, Father, to not have divided hearts. I believe that's what our Lord is teaching us here. Lord, I pray that we would have hearts that are fixed upon thee, that we would be wholehearted in devotion to thee, that we would seek thee with all of our hearts, that you would be our first love, our chief love, O God. Help us, Heavenly Father, to understand. I pray that you'd make application to this to our hearts and lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a little review from last time. As a child of God living in the world, listen, you cannot love and serve Christ and at the same time love the world. You can't say, I love Christ with all of my heart and then say, I love the world. It's biblically wrong. You cannot love the world and Christ at the same time. There is no harmony. There's no agreement at all between the God of this world and worldliness and the God of heaven and godliness. There's no agreement. They don't walk together. Christ doesn't walk together with Satan and is agreed with him. He doesn't walk together with the God of this world and agrees with him. They are diametrically opposed and completely contrary and incompatible one to another. To love and seek after the world and its riches And to say that you also love Christ and seek after heavenly things and the unsearchable riches of Christ is to say that the Lord Jesus Christ and Satan are yoked up, and it's not so, brethren. You cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? Money, wealth, riches, substance, worldly goods, stuff. Stuff in this world. Colossians 3:5, when Paul talks about mortification, you can just listen. I'm not going to turn there, but Paul says, mortify your members which are upon the earth. Mortify meaning kill. Kill worldly sinful attitudes out of your life. We're to put off the old man. Talking to George a minute ago, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's got a new nature. He's got a new spirit. He's got a new heart. So if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's new. He's different. He looks the same, but he's different. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Part of that new nature builds and grows as the old man is put off and the new man is put on. Colossians teaches us that when he says mortify. The word mortify means kill the old man. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. And then he says, and covetousness. And interestingly enough, covetousness, which is idolatry. You ever think about that? Covetousness likened, compared, linked with idolatry. Why? Because you love the things of this world. It's your idol. You love it. You got to have it. And Jesus says, it's mastered you. Listen, you are servants to that which you obey. Paul goes through that in the great sanctification chapter in Romans chapter 6. To whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So who's your master today? Jesus says, can't be both. But listen, sadly enough, in evangelical Christianity today, there are so many that want their big slice of the pie of the world. And on Sunday, they want to go serve Christ. So they want to serve two masters. So they have a heart and a heart. It's not so. Christ says not the way it works. And he says, you better love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so the question this morning, no man can serve two masters. For you and me, are you and I heavenly minded or earthly minded? Now, you will know this when you identify what you love and treasure. And we went through that last week in Matthew 6:19-22. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You will treasure your treasure. Now, when you know what it is that you love and treasure, you will know your master or who or what you are serving. And listen, Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus says you cannot serve me and be in bondage to or serve mammon or the world and worldly goods, covetousness, which is idolatry. Listen, if your treasure is in heaven, you will love and treasure the truths and promises of the kingdom of Christ. You'll love the things of God. And if you will be willing to part with everything in this life for Christ, that's what you'll do. You'd be willing to do that so you might have Christ. Let me show you Matthew 13. Just turn forward a little bit. Matthew 13:44. This will be you. These are the parables of the kingdom of heaven. These are the parables in which Christ said the kingdom of heaven is like. And here's two things that the kingdom of heaven is like. And those that are part of the kingdom of heaven, they'll be like this. This is how they'll be. And this is who you will be. Because your treasure will make you like this. You'll say, listen, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth. What did he hide? He hid the treasure. And for joy thereof, he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Why did he buy the field? Because the treasure was in the field. And what did he do? He forsook all. He sold all that he might buy that field because the treasure is in the field. The treasure is Christ. Look in verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. So he bought that pearl of great price. So listen, if your treasure is in heaven, in everything that you do in this life, you will be thinking of and advancing the kingdom of Christ. You will be spreading the message of the kingdom of Christ. And listen, this is laying up treasure in heaven. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians 3:17. The book of Colossians, and then we'll go to the book of Ephesians. And this is laying up treasure in heaven. Colossians 3:17. Paul here says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Verse 22. "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily," wholeheartedly, "as to the Lord and not unto men." Notice verse 24, "knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve," see that? "You serve the Lord Christ." And that's what we are, beloved. We are to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. We don't serve two masters. Back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5. Ephesians 6, 5, just back up a few pages. Ephesians 6, 5. "Servants." You know, maybe I ought to stop there for a minute and make sure we understand. If you profess faith in Jesus Christ, you are a servant of Christ. You are bound to him. You are under his kingship and authority. You are under the kingship and authority of no other. When you were lost, you were under the kingship and authority of Satan, in whom the god of this world, that's what he is, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. But now in Christ, you have been delivered from the power of darkness and from his kingdom, and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So that's where you are now, beloved. So servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, not with fear and trembling in singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So listen, laying up or amassing treasure in heaven, brethren, is done by living this life to the glory and honor of God as a child of God. And then using your time and your talents and your worldly goods and your stuff to bless and to help others. And I'll have you go to 1 Timothy 6:17. 1 Timothy 6:17. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." And then back to Luke chapter 12 and verse 31. Laying up treasure in heaven. Are you laying up treasure in heaven or on earth? Luke chapter 12 and verse 31. Luke 12, 31. The beloved physician here writes the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where is your treasure, child of God? And you say, well, I'm a Christian, so it's in heaven. Well, you need to make sure of that. If your treasures, beloved, are in the earth and in the world, that is where your heart concerns will be. Listen, we can say what we want to say about ourselves, but our treasures tell the true identity of our hearts. Listen, in Matthew chapter 7, and we'll get there, at the last day, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. Doesn't matter what you say. It matters what you believed and what you lived. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devil? Did we not do many wonderful works? And Jesus will confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So where is your treasure? If your heart concerns are in the world, if you care for and you're amassing things in this life, and you're more concerned with the world than its treasures, then there might be a heart problem. Look at Matthew 19. Let me give you an example of this. Matthew 19 and verse 21. Matthew 19 and verse 21. Listen, you will treasure your treasure. The question is, what is your treasure? Matthew 19 and verse 21. Here was a young man that came to Jesus, and he said, what may I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him, keep the commandments. And he goes through the second table of the law. And the young man in verse 20 says, all these things have I kept from my youth, but what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus told his apostles twice, he says, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Beloved, as this young man was loath to depart or part with his earthly riches and possessions for Christ, we should abhor the very thought of parting with Christ, who is our chief treasure for the world. Beloved, listen, the world is going to try and suck you in when you go out of these doors. The world is going to try and attract you to itself. But beloved, let us abhor the very thought of parting with Christ for the world. Where this young man's treasure was, there was his heart. He listened to the command of Christ, and he went his way sorrowful. Why? Because he loved his earthly treasures. And then you remember last time, remember your eye. Your eye will reveal the affections and desires of your heart. If your eye is single, as the text in verse 22 and 23, if your eye is healthy, sincere, it'll be clearly and singularly focused upon Christ and his kingdom. Remember, the eye is hardwired to the heart. Your eyes look at what your heart wants to look at. Your eyes are, it's the eye gate of the soul. It's the window to the soul. So where your eyes are fixed upon, they're fixed upon that which your heart is fixed upon. If your heart is clean and pure and you've been washed from your sins and you love Christ, your eye will be healthy and sincere. It'll be clear. It'll be singularly focused upon Christ and his kingdom. You'll be wholehearted. You'll be wholehearted in your devotion to Christ. I'm not talking about sinless perfectionism, but your heart, you'll have a whole heart. You'll desire to follow Christ. But if your eye is evil, it is because your heart is diseased by sin, full of darkness, full of sin, and your eyes are going to follow your heart, and your treasures will be in the world. So remember, the light of the body is the eye, the windows to the soul. And that brings us to verse 24. Again, no man can serve two masters. And so the question for you again is, who are you serving? Who or what is your master? You cannot serve two completely contrary masters. You cannot serve God and the God of this world at the same time. If you're laying up treasures in the earth It is because you love the world and all that is in the world, to include your sins. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot love the world and at the same time say that you love Christ. You cannot have one foot in the kingdom of Christ and one foot in the world. There's no such thing as a two-hearted Christian. And listen, this is something that we need to ask ourselves. Go over to Psalms 12 and verse 1. The book of the Psalms 12 and verse 1. Psalm 12 and verse 1, while you're going there, James chapter 1 and verse 8 says this: a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man. You know what it means to be double-minded? And if you look up the original here, it means to have two hearts, a heart and a heart. Psalm 12, 1, notice, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Double-hearted. You know what double-hearted is? Double-hearted is you come into the church and you're kind of like the green chameleon lizards that you see crawling all over your houses. When they get on a green plant, they turn green. And when they get on a brown plant, they turn brown. So they fit in with their surroundings. So a double-hearted Christian, and I put the quotations up, is one that on Sundays behaves like a Christian in their surroundings of the people of God, but then they go out into the world and they transform into worldlings when they're out into the world. They match their surroundings. Beloved, we are not to change. We are to be the same. We're to be constant. We're to go out in the world, and we are to be in the world, but not of the world. We are not to serve two masters. We are not to go out there and obey the God of this world. We're not to love the world or the things that are in the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. It's not of God. And listen, those that will say, I will be a friend to the world, James 4:4 says, are at enmity against God. And so listen, you can't love the world and love Christ. It can't be so. And we'll see more passages in a few minutes in the scriptures that teaches us that. And listen, these are the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Chronicles. Let me show you one of the tribes in Israel, 1 Chronicles chapter 12. This was after Saul had died, and all of the tribes were coming to Hebron to make David their king. In other words, David was anointed already, but he was in exile for a couple of years when Saul chased him. Now Saul had been killed in battle, and now David came to Hebron, and now he was going to be anointed king. Now listen, we're talking about allegiance to one king. For a while there, we had one king who was the king, Saul, and we had one young man, David, who had been anointed king. Can't have two kings. David was in exile. Saul was trying to kill David. David ran from Saul. Finally, Saul was killed in battle, and now David is receiving the kingdom. Chapter 12 of 1 Chronicles. Chapter 12 of 1 Chronicles. If you read the whole chapter, it rehearses the tribes that came to David. And in verse 12, I want you to see, or verse 33, 12:33, this is the tribe of Zebulun. It says of Zebulun, and these were the men that were coming to David, such as went forth to battle. They were expert in war with all instruments of war, 50,000. That's a lot of soldiers. Notice it says, which could keep rank. They were not of a double heart. They could keep rank. They stayed in rank. And listen, that's what we are, beloved. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We fight one good fight of faith. We keep rank with Christ, who is the captain of our salvation. We don't go back out into the world and we don't get in ranks with the world. No, we keep rank with the people of God. And this is what is happening here with David. All of the tribes were coming to David and they were pledging their allegiance to David, who was going to be their new king. And what a worthy group of the tribe of Zebulun that came. So listen, beloved, no man can serve, or woman, no man or woman can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve two masters, or let me say it like this, you cannot serve two gods. You cannot serve two kings. You cannot be a citizen of two kingdoms. If you profess faith in Christ, it will be manifest in your life by your love to Christ and your obedience to his commands. John chapter 15, I heard someone one day, they asked me, they said, can't you tell I love Christ? And I asked them, well, how can I tell if you love Christ? And they couldn't tell me. Well, John 14:15 tells us the words of Christ. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, you'll keep my word. Look at verse 21. If you go to John 14, John chapter 14 and verse 15, actually it says my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. Now, let me ask you something that ought to be intuitively obvious to you. Can you keep the commandments of Christ and go out and keep the commandments of the world? Can you serve Christ and go out and serve in the world? Listen, a lot of Christians think you can. And there are churches out there that would try and tell you that you can. You cannot. And Jesus tells us that. And we need to know that, beloved. You can't be part of the world and part of the kingdom of Christ. You can't halt between two opinions. You can't have one foot in the kingdom of Christ and one foot in Satan's kingdom. You can't do it. Well, let me rephrase that. You can do it, but Christ will not accept that. He will not. And listen, he commands, you will love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. Listen, we are to be wholehearted in our allegiance to Christ, just like those sons of Zebulun were to David. Look at verse 21 of 14 and verse 21. Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him, or we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which has sent me. Listen, Jesus is telling you, my son, give me thine heart, all of it. Proverbs 23:26, give me thine heart. But the world and mammon is saying, no, give me thy heart. Listen, when you go out in the world's saying, no, give me your heart. It's the god of this world. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You can't love Christ in the world. Jesus commands us, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and strength and mind. But Satan says, no, you will love me and you'll love the world with all of your heart. And you'll love the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what Satan's saying out in the world, brethren. He is. And we need to know that. And we need to be wise to it. Let me give you an example. Do you remember Samson? Do you remember that he was a Nazarite unto God all the days of his life? Which means that he was to be devoted unto God. But then Delilah came along. You remember Delilah? And she tried to trap him. And she tried to have the Philistines come out of the secret places at her house to tie him and bind him and deliver him to the Philistines. And you remember that she never could do it because he wouldn't tell her all of his heart. But Delilah stole his heart. Delilah stole his heart. She told him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? That's what Delilah told Samson. How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Child of God, how can you say you love Christ when your heart is not with Christ? How can you say that you love Christ when you allow the Delilahs of the world and the mammon of this world to woo you away from Christ and take all of your strength away from you? If you love the world and its mammon, you hate and despise me, saith Christ. You cannot love me. Genesis 29. Think about this example of Samson and turn back to Genesis 29. I'm going to give you another example. Genesis 29. You cannot love Christ and love mammon. You cannot love Christ and love the world. You cannot serve two masters. And I'll ask you, mainly ladies, because I can't enter into something like this. And none of you can, but you can imagine what it would be like to be one of Jacob's wives and the one that he didn't love. And you know the story. It's Rachel and Leah. Genesis 29:30, you know the story of how Leah was given to him deceitfully by Laban. In Genesis 29:30, and he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served him yet 7 other years. So he was going to serve Laban 7 more years because he really loved Rachel. That's who Jacob wanted to marry. But we know the story that Laban brought in Leah and gave Leah first and deceived Jacob. Now, here it says he loved Rachel more than Leah. Verse 31 says, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon mine affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Now you get the idea. Now let me ask you a question. Did Jacob hate Leah with a malice? Did he hate her as if I don't even want to be seen with her? We know that's not the case. In fact, the Word of God defines it for us in verse 30. He loved also Rachel more than Leah. But how did Leah view that? How did Leah view Jacob's relationship with her compared to Jacob's relationship with Rachel? Well, he hates me. And he loves her. And so that's how Jacob viewed that relationship. Now we know that Jacob did not hate Leah with the intensity and rage that we think in this life, but we know that his heart was with Rachel. Let me show you another example. Luke chapter 14, New Testament. Now, when you think about Rachel and Leah, now think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ and think about where your love is. Think about your love. And let me just ask you this. Let's just say it this way. And Jimmy loved the world more than he loved Christ. That's bad. That's bad. See, beloved, you can't serve two masters. See, here, in this economy of men in the Old Testament taking two wives, don't ask me why things like that happened. We can talk about that later. It wasn't right. It shouldn't have been done. David had 5 wives, man after God's own heart. And so in the economy of fallen humanity, it happened. And it's one of those things that God seems to have winked at. But beloved, in your relationship with Christ, it will not be tolerated. that will not be tolerated by God. And this is what he's preaching here in the Sermon on the Mount. You cannot love God and mammon. Luke 14, Jesus takes it to the next level here with what I call the cost of discipleship. If you would be a disciple of Christ, Luke chapter 14, verse 25, notice, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not. If you're going to come to me and you're going to be my disciple, he's telling them you need to hate your father and your mother and your wife and your children, your brethren, your sisters, yea, and your own life also. Unless you do that, you cannot be my disciple. Now, is Jesus teaching me to actually hate my mother? Well, no, we know he's not. He's talking about our love to Christ. It must, in the relative sense, it must be in a comparative sense. Our love to Christ must be so much more than our love for our earthly relatives. Certainly, I'm to love my wife, I'm to love my children, I'm to love my mother and father. But in comparison, Jesus says, it ought to look like a hate. Listen, he says, whosoever, verse 27, doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. I want you to see, he's not saying, well, you might be my disciple. We need to see if you measure up. No, he's saying you cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? You know what he's telling these people that are following him? Because they're following him and they're saying, we're going to follow you wherever you go. And he's turned around. He says, you better count the cost first. Because if you're going to follow me, then you need to forsake all. And you need to love me first. I need to be your chief treasure, your chief love. That's what he's telling them. And listen, that's Christianity. And so, listen, we need to count the cost, brethren. And notice he says, which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it will begin to mock him. The example there is one that begins with Christ and didn't count the cost and is not willing to forsake all for Christ. And you know as well as I do, you look at a half-built house and it sits there and they stop and the wood starts rotting. It's what happened. They didn't count the cost. And it turns out to be, it's a black mark. It's a trash heap. He didn't make it. See, and Jesus said, you better count the cost. Verse 30, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. That's not the Christian life. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, verse 33, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You cannot serve two masters. That's the cost of discipleship. Jesus says, you better count the cost. If you love me, you'll keep my words. If you love me, you'll love me only. You won't love the world. And so the question for all of us today, beloved, whom are you serving today? Are you serving God, or are you serving the God of this world and his mammon, his stuff, worldly stuff that's in the world? Are you being baited and drawn into the world away from Christ by the world and its mammon? Be so careful, beloved, because this is going to happen in the world. Listen, Satan wants you to turn aside. He wants you back in the world. But know that you cannot serve Christ and the God of this world and his mammon. You cannot do it. Philippians 3:17, the book of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 17. The apostle Paul here. He says, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is their destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the Apostle Paul say about Demas? In one epistle, Demas was doing well. He was following Christ. But in the later epistle, and I think it's in Timothy, I don't remember exactly where it's at, Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. It's a terrible thing to read about Demas, who was once a brother in the Lord, but forsook the ways of God and went back to the world. Listen, 1 Kings 18:21, the prophet Elijah, he said, if the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. He told the people before that, how long do you halt between two opinions? Listen, that's not the Christian life, and we must not do that. Now, let me give you a few examples to encourage you. Ruth chapter 1, the book of Ruth, chapter 1 and verse 15. The book of Ruth. We should want the heart of Ruth, beloved. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 15. This was after Ruth's husband had died. This is after Orpah's husband had died. This was after Naomi's husband had died. These were sons to Naomi. Her husband was now dead. Her sons were now dead. Now she was left with two daughters-in-law of Moab. She tells them, go home. Go home to your mother. Go home to your gods. Go back to the world. Orpah went back. Ruth said, I'm not going back. And this should be our testimony, brethren. Ruth 1:15. She said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught or anything but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Here is an example of a young Moabitish woman that forsook all for Christ. Listen, it wasn't just Naomi. It was Naomi's God. She says, I'm following you because I'm following your God. She didn't halt between two opinions. Orpah did for a little while, but then she went back to her people and to her God. Psalm 73 and verse 25. Psalm 73 and verse 25. A song that we sing. This should be our hearts, brethren. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Now listen, yes, naturally you love your wives and you love your children and you love your husbands and you love your grandchildren and you love the people of God. But in relation to your love to Christ, it might as well be a hate. That's how far away it is. That's how far and above you love Christ so much more than your closest earthly relation. I like to tell people sometimes that my wife is my second love. Listen, if I'm loving Christ the way I should love Christ, then being second love is really good. But brethren, listen, we need to love our God, like the psalmist says. He says, I have no one on earth beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And then Psalm 123, you can just listen, or you can turn there, and we're almost done here. Psalm 123 and verse 1. The psalmist says, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, and him only, beloved, until that he have mercy upon us. Beloved, we must be single-hearted and with a single eye toward Christ. Bible says in Psalm 86, just listen, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. And that must be for us, beloved. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. And so back to Matthew 6, and we'll close. Matthew 6. Listen, I'm not following you around. You're not following me around. But when you walk out of these doors, you know whether your treasure is with Christ or whether your treasure is in the world. You know whether you're serving Christ or that you're serving the God of this world for his mammon and for his stuff in the world. No man can serve two masters. We see it here in the Word of God. This is the preaching of Christ, greatest sermon ever preached. You cannot serve God and mammon. Listen, Christ isn't just added to someone's life to become an equal component in all of the things in your life. No. He must be your chief treasure. You are to love him with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and with all of your strength, because no man can serve two masters. Remember Rachel and Leah. Don't forget that example. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we ask for your blessings. I pray that, Father, our hearts would be singly fixed, O God, upon thee. I pray that we would not have affections for the world or the God of this world or for his deceptions, O God. We know that he has many methods and wiles. Lord, I pray that our eyes would be not diseased, Father, but we would clearly see the truths and the promises which you've given to us. Father, help us, Heavenly Father. Cleanse our hearts, O God. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for being attracted to the world. Help us to not be so. Help us, Heavenly Father. O God, we want to serve you and you alone. And I pray that it would be so. And we ask that you'd bless, O God, even the food. We ask for your blessings upon it now. Lord, I know many hands have prepared it. We ask that you would bless it, and we give you so much thanks. We have more than heart could wish. I pray that we would not sin in the eating of it. I pray we would give thanks with every bite. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.